And now it is time for the Garden Talk.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning, Mardell. And we have Carrie and Mardell here with us today.
Another gardener
Another
here.
Another garden. Gardens all over, Haynes. I love
there
it.
There are. And that reminds me that I want to start out with something today, with something that I wasn't aware that we have. We got a list of all the garden books sent to us from the local bookstore. And my goodness, there's a lot of them. And
in the library.
In the local bookstore. Last time we talked about Christmas gifts.
Gotcha.
And so I just wanted to acknowledge that it was a list of like 30, 40 books. And what made me think about that, as I was looking at that list, I went, wow, we do have a lot of gardeners in this town, the fact that it's supporting that many books.
So. Exactly.
So anyway, yeah. I wanted to mention that as a follow-up to last week's show about Christmas. We're not going to talk about Christmas this time. Carrie has recently expanded her garden, and I wanted her to come in and help me talk about what that means and what she learned and all of that. So that's what we're going to talk about. And my first question is, it seems that I've talked to people, they say that it really helps to, they kind of had a purpose or a goal. And so was that the case with you, Carrie? Why did you expand your garden? What motivated you? How did it happen? Did you have a purpose?
Well, the site that I built my garden in was an ideal sunny spot originally, and we had a grove of spruce trees. There were about 5 spruce trees on the southwest edge of the garden, and when I built the garden, the trees were about, I don't know, 20 feet.
And they grew.
Yeah. And spruce trees grow really fast here.
Mm-hmm.
And so year after year, I kept, you know, like, oh, those trees are really starting to shade my garden. And my crops started to get more and more, crops that could withstand a lot of shade.
You limited your crops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I finally decided to cut the trees down. And part of that process was deciding to cut the trees and then also pull the stumps. Mm-hmm. And they were really big trees. And it created a lot of open land. And so the logical next step was, let's expand.
For a gardener, the logical next step was, let's put in a garden.
Exactly. Let's expand into that space. And so it just opened up this possibility of having a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so then I was really able to dream and think, oh, wow, I really would love to have a long row of raspberries or two,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like asparagus. I could have an asparagus patch.
And then you put in a greenhouse on top of that, which also gave you a whole bunch more.
And a greenhouse in this climate, at this point, I really feel that's essential, because you can start greens early in the year, and then you can have greens in April,
mm-hmm.
or May, and then you have crops that I struggled trying to grow tomatoes outdoors.
Tomatoes and cucumbers and
for
basil.
Years.
And,
mm-hmm. and then once I had a greenhouse, it was just, mm-hmm. there was no issue.
It does. So. That's a good way of putting it. It opens up a lot of doors to more variety, more crops.
Yeah.
So apart from your greenhouse, you used raised beds. You chose to go with raised
mm-hmm.
beds.
Yep.
And out of what? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, in my particular site, I think that was a real essential move, because when we pulled those roots out, the tree roots, it really disrupted the soil, and we're on top of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had extreme drainage issues after that. And walking around and moving a wheelbarrow and building beds, there was a lot of mud.
Mm-hmm.
And, so to get the soil up a little bit where
it was drier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. where we could control the the water in mm-hmm. the bed mm-hmm. was pretty essential.
And I think that that is a very good reason for putting in raised beds. And most people do use raised beds here because they're warmer. And in yeah. our climate, we mm-hmm. need as much warmth as possible. But that's not the case for everybody. I actually have mixed. I have both raised beds, and then I have in the ground, or what I call field beds, where I grow my more like potatoes and cabbage, my bigger crops. And there's a bunch of other people here that have opened up field space. The advantage yeah. is, of course, you can use mechanical things to weed or go between the rows if you have enough space to do that. And you have more flexibility in your spacing in a bed, in a field bed. But there's no question that raised beds give you an advantage of heat. And then also the other thing in considering if whether you're going to do raised beds or not is what I like about it is you put all your nutrients in one bed and they stay there.
Right.
Whereas if you have a field and you put nutrients in, before long the nutrients are in your pathways and you know, and also your irrigation and all of that. So,
right.
so there's a real advantage in that way of having raised beds versus versus fields. And so, if you have can afford the time, and there's some expense, you mm-hmm. would you use to build yours?
I bought hemlock 2x12s mm-hmm. from Tony Malone,
mm-hmm.
and they.
So specially cut wood for this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it was rough cut lumber, mm-hmm. and so that means the dimension is actually 2 inches by 12 inches, and so it's a really stout, big board, and they work beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're set on edge then.
Yeah.
The 2x12s. One
yeah.
of the things that I did, just to throw out this idea, I got this idea from another gardener, is they took 2x4s, so rough cut 2x4s. It doesn't matter if they're perfect or anything. And you lay them on the ground, on the not upright, but
the four-inch width.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then you stack them, and so you stagger them just like you do blocks if you're a little kid playing blocks on the ends. And I made mine about 4 to 6 high, and so you have a 4-inch wide side of a bed, which means that you've got more wood there. It's going to take longer to decompose and rot. But on the other hand, you've got lots of spaces for water to sit in. And
right.
and so they will.
And is the soil kind of leaking out between those
No, it's
those
not.
Spaces?
No, okay. it's not, because it's plenty wide. But I am noticing, of course, there's rot starting in between the two boards. But it's a no muss, no fuss. It was the easiest raised bed that I've ever done, because mm-hmm. you're basically just stacking 2x4s on top of each other.
Right.
And so just an idea. And, of course, you know, you can use concrete.
So you could use corrugated metal.
You can
keep the slugs off.
Yeah, slugs climb up my metal.
Oh no!
Or you can. One thing to consider also is when you're doing raised beds is I have tin inside of mine, and a lot of people think I'm actually crazy for doing that, but I do that because I have a lot of wild raspberries growing around, and if I didn't do that, I would have my beds full of raspberries. So one way of helping, it doesn't eliminate it. I'll warn you, it doesn't eliminate it, but it certainly backs it off and helps, is to line your beds with tin. So make your raised bed, you know, do the wood and dig it out a little bit and put tin in it.
Yeah,
and then
I did that on the very perimeter of my garden. I used tin.
So where you were worried about
berries
yeah.
that were trying to encroach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you really have to figure something
you
out
do.
For salmon
That's
berries.
Right. Yeah, you do. And any salmon berries, any wild raspberries, any mare's tail also will mm-hmm. find its way in. So that is one thing to consider in making beds. But they can be made out of, and another thing is I've gone to using boats. That's what I have my raised beds in now. So they're
right.
a big container. Basically, it's a big, huge container. So you can be creative in making raised
yeah.
beds. You do not have to just use wood. That's probably the easiest thing to do here. But
and what about using rubber tires or plastic kids' swimming pools? Now, is there any issues with those chemicals leaking out of those?
I have read various things about using tires. I don't think that I would plant food in tires because mm-hmm. I personally believe that there is some stuff that comes out of those petroleum products. But I've seen lots of people who do, and flowers. I've seen lots of flowers in that. I have used an old stock tank. So that's like a
galvanized.
No, it's plastic. It's actually a fiberglass is what it is. I've used fiberglass, and I have a fiberglass boat. So I'm one of those people that's always looking around, going, "Oh, I could use that as a I could bury that in the ground and use that as a bed." So be creative is what I think.
And you bury it in the ground for what reason?
Well, the one just because I wanted to. The one that I'm looking at is really deep. It's like 3 feet deep.
Okay.
And I want to grow mint in it. We were talking on another show about how you need to isolate some plants like mint.
Like mint.
Yeah.
Well, so. One thing I want to mention is that the older part of my garden had beds that were a lot of different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. And so if you have boats and tins and
this and that,
then your workflow might be a little more disrupted, you know, trying to figure out which row cover you're going to put on which bed. And so what I decided to do when I expanded my garden was just make every single bed the same dimension. So I have the... All the hoops are the same size. All the row covers are the same size.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense to me. Yeah, it really does. If you have the luxury of doing that, it just makes a lot of sense. And if you like that look, if you go into Carrie's garden and it's beautiful, it's all organized and it just looks really nice and beautiful and orderly. And some people don't like that look. You know, some people like the more chaotic kind of look. And so, yeah. We're getting down to the end. And one of the things that I want to address is how did you fill your beds? That's a daunting thing that you're expanding this. How on earth did you fill your beds once you had them made?
Well, we used a method called lasagna gardening, where we put down a layer of straw and then a layer of seaweed and then a layer of soil, very thin layer of soil, like maybe just an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that layer of the soil inoculates the...
decomposition of everything else.
Yeah, you're introducing organisms that help break it down. And then just we would start over again, straw, seaweed, soil. And then the very top layer was soil. And even with that... completely raw composition, we were able to plant in the very top layer, and the plants like it.
You got great crops that first year. Yeah, it's pretty normal to get really good crops the first year or two. And so that is a really good way of doing soil here. In fact, it's almost the only way, because to fill multiple beds, to go out and get enough soil to fill multiple beds is difficult here.
Well,
so,
how about throwing sticks and logs and whatnot in there? That takes up some space.
It is, and that's a good point. If you would have asked me that several years ago, I would have gone, oh, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. But I did some reading, and I actually started doing that, and there's a couple other people who have done it even more than me. You can stick branches and logs and stumps, well, maybe not stumps, but stuff in the bottom, and then put your dirt on top, or put straw, like Carrie did, straw and leaves, that sort of thing.
So a combination,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of options. You can fill those beds, and so you can do multiple beds at a time.
And do those logs, as they're decomposing, does that attract bugs?
Well, that's going to be under the soil, so it's going to attract the decomposition. One of the things that I've learned and changed my mind is about, it's always been said that putting wood in robs nitrogen. It does if it's fresh wood.
Right, right.
If it's old wood, that process has already gone through, and so you're robbing less nitrogen. That's probably not an issue.
And then it starts to build up again.
And then
you're good.
And then you're good. That's right. And also, I looked at pictures and whatnot of photos that were taken of the roots going down in amongst those branches and that wood and stuff. So
Could get some interesting carrots, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
All right. Well, that's about all we have time
thank
for
you,
today.
Joni.
But thank you so
Joni.
Much.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks. Yep.
In a couple weeks.
Yep.
All okay. right. Have a All great right. holiday
Merry Christmas.
Season.
Okay.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. The Garden Talk. Always a fun conversation to have here.